Christian, right? Are you glad to be here?
Yeah.
It is good to be here with you. And I had an announcement this morning. Wanted to mention a couple things if I could do it by memory. Wanted to say that July 9th that David Mitz is going to be preaching again that Sunday morning. I just love how he brings forth the Word of God if you've been here. Powerful. I mean, they're one of us whether they like it or not, David. And Lisa Mitz, too, she may speak. She's a speaker in her own right. I've heard her. She's a powerful speaker. So they are one of us, and their ministries and the things that Lisa Mitz does with her music and the ministry they both have and the ministry of word that David has is powerful. So make sure that you are here for that. And then the following Sunday, I don't have my I'll mess it up. I don't know if any of you know. If you know anything about Andrew Womack's ministries, then you guys know who Ashley and Carly Terades are. And they're going to be here July 16th. They got a powerful ministry as well, many miracles in their life. They have a powerful ministry of one of their little children who was right on death's doorsteps. They'll give this, I'm sure they'll give the account themselves of how God healed their daughter supernaturally and other miracles and things that God has done in their life. They're a powerful ministry. There'll be people here who don't know anything. I guarantee they don't know anything about this church. That's going to be a powerful week. So we're going to have David Mitz on the 9th. We're going to have the Terades as the following Sunday. Amen. But we're not going to miss a beat whether I'm up here or not. The Spirit of God is here. It's going to be powerful. There's going to be truth spoken. Amen. The Holy Spirit doing powerful things, so I'm excited about that. So put that on your calendar as well. So I wanted to say, everybody who is a father, happy Father's Day, right? Amen? And so I want to speak a little bit about fathers. Man, and I just want to say, I just want to make sure as I speak this morning, man, I'm very sensitive to this. And I told you, I don't know if you remember Mother's Day, I won't go through the story again, but sometimes people, I had friends and people I knew because of the hurt and pain in their lives with parents who would just avoid that Sunday. Avoid that Sunday. And I want to say, regardless of if you're a father and you feel like you failed in some ways, I'm telling you, when I was younger, I failed in many ways. Let me just say this, that God is a restorer and He's a rewarder. And God heals hearts. God is a healer of hearts. So don't take anything, because what people will do is they'll take, if there's any one thing that can keep somebody back for what God has for them and wants them to walk in, it's regret. And you can't do anything about yesterday or last month or last year, 10 years or 20 years. You know, I think of some of people, some of the patriarchs in the Bible. I think of people that I just think were a good father, and I think about Joseph. I read about Joseph, and to me, I think Joseph was a good father, you know? But you know what? Reading the accounts of King David, and this is just chatology, I don't think King David was really that good of a father. In many aspects, just read it. If you read how King David, and I'm going off track a little bit here, hopefully we'll get back, but whatever the Lord wants to say this morning, right? Thank you, Lord. Let me just stop right there and say, Lord, I have a receptive heart this morning. My heart belongs to you. I belong to you. Lord, I want, Lord, my heart, Lord, anything in my heart that you want to touch or heal or make me aware of by the power of the Holy Spirit, because of how much our Father loves us, I want to be receptive to that this morning. I don't want anybody here to leave this morning. Let me just speak from my heart and just say, you know, that's great. I'm glad for the fathers, the good fathers, or, you know, or those who were good fathers, or whatever the situation is. I pray that God will minister to you regardless this morning. This morning. If I had a title, I want to say, and then I'll continue. If I had a title this morning for a message, it's called, What's in a Name? What's in a Name? What's in the name of Father? What's in the name of Father? And so let me just go back. You know, King David, I think of the way he was raised. I just give an example. Remember when Samuel told his father, Jesse, and Samuel would be the most important man in all of Israel. He was the prophet in Israel. He was known. The Word of God says that nothing he said fell to the ground. Everything that he said had purpose. Everything that he said came to pass. Everything that he said had impact. Samuel says to Jesse, hey, I'm going to have dinner with you, and I want you to bring all your children. I want your whole family to be there. But guess who was not invited? David was not there. Because God had a purpose that David would be there, because he was going to be anointed as the future king of all of Israel. And also we know through the lineage of David would come Jesus the Christ, the Son of God. And he was not even invited to be there for the dinner. I don't know why. I know there's something had to be up because, man, Samuel invited us to dinner. Samuel invited us to be there. And then when all the sons came before Samuel, God said, nope, that's not the one that's going to be the king. Nope, 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 nope. And then Samuel says, well, this is all your son. Am I not hearing God? And he said, oh, no, I got David, but he's watching the sheep. And our God loves us so much. What did Samuel say? We'll not sit down and eat until you bring him here. And as soon as he walked in, what did God say? He says, stand up and go anoint him, for he is the future of Israel. God love takes the things that can be rejected, takes the things that can be minimalized, and he loves to bless them and raise them up. But in all that being said, I think David and that carried some of those traits on. You see, with some of his sons where he was aloof, where he could have done more to help his family. That's how I read it. But even in all, I say that in even all his failings and weaknesses, God used King David. Can you believe that? He used King David in all his flaws and mistakes. You know, I want to continue on as we had pre-service prayer. I think about this great nation that I live in. Amen. The United States of America. And even Richie had brought this verse up to me because I think it's the verse of the day in the Bible. And just 2 minutes before he said, hey, did you read the verse this morning? I during this pre-service prayer, I had read this, and it's the last scriptures of the Old Testament in Malachi. So I'm taking a little detour. I'm coming back, I think. Malachi 4. Verse 5 says, Malachi, don't worry about it, John. I didn't tell you. It's not your fault. It's not on my notes. You won't find them there. The last few scriptures, it says in Malachi 4, verse 5, behold, I am going to send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and terrible day of the Lord. There is still coming a great and terrible day of the Lord for those who reject him, but for those who know him, amen, we are going to be received into everlasting life, amen. Is that you? I know that's me. And I love this verse 6, it says, he will turn the hearts of the fathers back. So their hearts must have not been towards their children at that time. And I can tell you right now, it's something that needs to happen again in this nation. That's exactly where we're at, I believe, at this point in time. And it doesn't matter what you did or didn't do in the past. Today is a new day. Amen. My mercies are new every morning. Hallelujah. Behold, I'm going to send to you Elijah the prophet before the coming and great terrible day of the Lord. He will turn the hearts of the fathers back to their children and the hearts of the children to their fathers so that I will not come and strike the land with complete destruction. And I believe as I was praying this morning, the destruction that we've seen in this country or that you've read about or you've seen as because of a thing of a fathers and their children having not have a heart for one another. I was looking at all the things of those who don't have a father in their home or who didn't, the likelihood of them not graduating high school, the likelihood of them living in poverty. I'm telling you, when we see communities where you see great poverty, I guarantee you, you're going to see something else there, and it's called fatherlessness. It really is. And then you'll see communities where there seems to be blessing and prosperity and all these things. I guarantee you, most likely in those communities, there's more fathers involved in children's life. It's just the way it is. That's why God says, I believe it's for this country to change. It is definitely going to be this, turning the hearts of the fathers to their children and the children to the father. That's why the house of God is so important. Children together, being fathers to those that are younger, encouraging others. Amen. Being strong for them, not always in the way they want to, but being strong like a father. You know, I think about just a little bit of disclosure for my life is, you know, I was adopted. My real last name is not Nanky, but it was a different last name. And my biological father is no longer alive, but he was an alcoholic, terribly abusive alcoholic. And even as I grew up, even though all those things were what he was, I still had this thing where I just worshiped him. Because he was my father. I just worshiped him regardless of those things. But one thing I realized during that time as I grew up is because of some of these things that went on, I got a wound in my heart. It's called a father wound. And I can tell you that a lot of the things that go on in people's lives, we can point fingers, we can look at them and say, what are you doing? What is wrong with you? I can almost guarantee you in many of those, for instances, there's a father wound. There's a father wound. There is a father wound. Where you see a lot of promiscuity in with women, I can guarantee you just about there's a father wound. Where you see rebellion with boys and not willing to submit under authority, even getting become grown men, not able to submit underneath any authority, I believe there is a father wound. That's why I think it says in that Malachi that, look, I'm coming and I'm turning the hearts back of the fathers to the children and the children to the father. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for doing that in this day and age, turning the hearts back. Amen. See, where you have, where there's a father wound and that's not healed, there's not an understanding, you can come into Christianity, but when that's not healed, all you have is religion. You know how to comply to rules and regulations. You know how to say the right things. You may know all the Christianese words. But when there's a wound that hasn't been healed in there, there's something that's missing. There's an area that you don't quite understand the Father. You don't quite understand His love. You don't quite understand His forgiveness. You don't quite understand that He will never leave you nor forsake you. What it becomes religion, where it becomes like you better watch out. You better make sure that you walk this line, or you're in trouble. That's legalism. But where you are healed from a father's wound, you come into the heart of the Father. You come into His great love for you. You become where you're at rest in Him, regardless what's going on in your life. See, we can display great talents in Wall Street. Great talents and work, and be striving with all our hearts, trying to fill a void and not realizing that there's a father wound that God wants to heal. I think we're at a day and an age in this country again where we have to turn of the hearts to the Father, to the children, and the children to the Father, unless, it says here, come and strike the land with destruction. What's that mean? I mean, people that are opposed to God. There's no blessing on being opposed to God. Come on. And one of the main things that'll cause opposition of God is a father wound. Did you know those that'll bring their kids to church? That if you raise your kids in church, fathers, if you come with them, You know what the likelihood is that your children will go to church when they're raised and out of the house? It's really high. Fathers have such an impact. Amen? Having not done things perfectly, what I do now is I can only sow. The kingdom of God is about sowing and reaping. And I've, through my life, I don't know about you, but I've sown many, many bad things. To the point where, like, my goodness, look at everything I see that I've sown that's not good. What I have learned is I just do this. I just start sowing good seed. Sowing good seed that those that are involved in my life. How can I be a blessing to them? How can I help them? See, remember, it was the Father that went into the garden with Adam and Eve every evening. He's the one that went there in the cool of the evening. He wasn't waiting for the children to come to them. No, he went to the children, to Adam and Eve. He went to them. Let me just say, fathers, I've learned, because sometimes men can tend to be stoic, so they wait for their kids to call them. Wait for the kids to call them. But as I've seen the Father towards me, I've turned that around, and I call them. I'll check up on them. I'll start saying things like, how can I help you? How can I be a blessing to you? It was something the Lord showed me, because that's not how I was raised, being stoic. If you want to hear from Dad, you better call him. But if you hear a dad today, you can start sowing. If you've got kids or grandkids, and there may be wounds and different things in your life, or mistrust, sexual abuse, where that's not possible. For those things, what I do is seek God to heal your heart completely. If he hasn't, he can do that. Amen. With other brothers and sisters, with people that have come out of that, allow the Lord to heal you. Let me just say that there's no wound that God cannot heal. See, there's a lot of behavioral problems in our society, and I think there's it's wounds of the Father in many cases. We'll put a name on it. Here's this where you can make people mad. We'll put names on it and we'll medicate them. But sometimes it's a wound of the Father. Allowing the Holy Spirit, the love of God, to heal that. What you start out now is you just begin to sow kindness. You know, I had somebody that was powerful in my life, and so this week I let him know. I said, hey, look, I appreciate you, my brother Dan Hussey. I love you. Thank you for being in my life. And I said, look, you know what I appreciate? And I told him what I appreciated about him, that no matter how hard things got, and he had some hardships in his life, no matter how hard things got, no matter how bleak it looked, he never gave up. And that is a definition of a father. Not just a father's going to make mistakes. Amen. But for me, if I don't give up, if I'm always there, continuing to sow his kindness, his goodness, his love, I'm telling you, it can take weeks, months, and years. But if you'll believe in the principle of God, God will begin to do things. That's what, and prayer, amen? The power of prayer. You know, some of the things where I needed much restoration in my life, where I didn't think was ever going to happen. When I came into his love and his grace and his mercy, never giving up, amen, just kept coming forward, kept praying for children and grandchildren, God slowly but surely began to restore. See, he's a restorer of what the cankerworm and the locusts have eaten. See, we have to, by faith, believe what the Word of God says. If you believe your emotions or the news, let me just say this. Behold, I'm going to send Elijah. How many Elijahs we got in here, men? Love, powerful in the faith. Standing up for truth. Behold, I'm going to send Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and terrible day of the Lord. He will turn the hearts of the fathers back to their children and the hearts of the children to their fathers, so that I will not come and strike the land with complete destruction. I don't know about you. I don't know what's going on. Sometimes I don't want to know what's going on in Washington. But I do know what's going on in my home. I said, I do know what's going on in my home. And as a father, it's my responsibility. It's my responsibility, amen, to lead as a father. Is that okay this morning? Some of you are looking at me. He loves us, amen? Fathers, we have a responsibility, but that's okay because I am under the leadership of the Heavenly Father who lives in me, amen? He does not leave me alone. He doesn't give me a list of things and say, good luck, I hope you can get this to work. Check in with me every once in a while, let me know how it's going, and I'll give you a report card how you're doing. No, that's not how our Father operates, hallelujah. No, I check with him, in with him daily. I check in with him all day long because he lives in me. He's with me. Forget, Lord, thank you for healing wounds of the Father in people's lives, starting with forgiveness, starting with this, that I can be all that God has called me to be, amen, forgiving those, or what Paul says, forgetting those things behind me, I press on to the high mark. And there's no higher calling, men, than being a father, a grandfather, an uncle to your nephews and nieces. There's no higher calling to have an impact with those around you. You've heard it, me say it many times. If I'm not living, not perfect, but if I'm not living it at home, I have no business being back behind here, because you can put a suit on a monkey and teach him how to entertain people. Amen? We don't need entertainment, don't we? We need people that are growing in the Lord. That what you see at church is what you see at home. Amen? Not perfection, but the power of God, the love of God, the peace of God, the strength of God, leading and guiding. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. What's in a name? We know our Father is God. If you first say, God, you hear people say, hey, do you love God? Well, anymore, what does that mean even, right? What God are you talking about, right? So when we say the word God or the name God, we can say Yahweh, and that's a real name, amen? Israelites calling God Yahweh. Yahweh's powerful. How about Jehovah? How about the name Jehovah? Jehovah Nisi, you've heard that? Jehovah Jireh, my provider. Jehovah Rapha, my healer. I love the one in Exodus, I am that I am. I love that one. When you know Moses trying to get out of leading the people of Israel, right? He's like, I don't want to do this. And he says, who should I tell him sent me? I am that I am. Don't you love serving, walking, being the son of the great I am that I am? How about John 1? It says the Word. So we got the name the Word. He is the Word, and he became flesh, the name. So you have all these, what's in a name? And all of these have a significant meaning, a significant purpose. Amen? Do you agree with that? But then in John chapter 13, I just want to mention this, as Jesus is coming to the end of his ministry on earth, and he starts telling them that he's going to be betrayed and he's going to be crucified. And man, it changed the atmosphere with his disciples. They're sad. Amen. They're sad. They're bummed out. They're upset because what do you mean? And somebody's going to betray me. One of you is going to betray me. We know that he was betrayed, that one amongst his own betrayed him. And so in the light of bad news, devastating news, unfathomable news, and top it off, then Peter starts popping off. Jesus is talking to him, and all of a sudden, Peter's got to stand up, and he's got to start yapping. Starts, I will never disown you. So in all this, Peter stands up and starts kind of proving that he will never give up on Christ. So you have this somewhat chaotic scene, sadness, confusion, and then Peter boasting. You know, it's in this atmosphere that Jesus begins to talk about the Father. About the Father. He starts getting into what they call the nitty-gritty. If you've seen the movie Nacho Libre. All of this thing going on, he says, all this chaotic going on. And he starts out in John chapter 14, verse 1. We're going to start going through this if we've got some time. He says, do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me, Jesus said. You know, sounds good. Believe in God. I mean, I believe in God. I believe in Jesus. That sounds great, doesn't it? And then in verse 2, Jesus starts making it more personal. He said, in my Father's house. Can you say Father this morning? We're going to talk about, the title saying, what's in a name? Father. Father. In my Father's house are many rooms. If that were not so, I would have told you, because I'm going there to prepare a place for you. Hallelujah. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I am coming again, and I will take you to myself, so that where I am, there you also will be. And you know the way where I'm going. He's speaking to his disciples. Now, how long had he been with his disciples? Like 3.5 years, right? They'd had a lot of conversations, many, many conversations, right? He's seen many miracles. He's seen them speak to many crowds. Where I am, there you also be. Verse 4, and you know the way where I am going. And then all of a sudden, Thomas stops and stops. He says, excuse me. Jesus is talking, and he said, basically, I could see him say, hold on a second. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How do we know the way? He said, what do you mean? What are you talking about where I am? He says, we don't know the way. Excuse me, Jesus, we've heard you talk many times. We've heard you talk about the Father. But remember that for much of what Jesus was saying at that time, that they were hardened to it as well. They didn't understand it. He says, where are you going? So Thomas is thinking, let me just say, he's thinking in the natural. He might be thinking, are you going back to northern Israel? Are you going back to Nazareth? Are you going back there to build a kingdom? Are you going to build a big palace? Are we going to follow you there? He's thinking in the natural, right? Because they're still thinking at that time that Jesus is going to restore the kingdom of Israel to overcome the Romans. So Jesus was speaking of the unnatural, the supernatural. He was speaking of supernatural things. Man, mansions in heaven. Homes, being with him, being with the Father for all time. All these spiritual things Jesus is speaking about. You know, so Jesus gives the map, the directions, the road traveled to the Father. You know all of these things. I'm probably speaking to the choir, but can we remind ourselves this morning sometimes about the simplicity of the gospel of Jesus Christ? Amen. Jesus said to him, the verse 6, he's talking to who, Thomas? I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And notice how Jesus is talking now. He says, I am the way, the truth, and life. He didn't say, there's no way to Yahweh. He is Yahweh. There's no way to the great I am that I am. He is the great I am that I am. All these names, he says, no one can come to the Father except through me. Oneness with the Father. And then Jesus continues, let me just continue. He says, if you had known me, you would have known my Father. You had known my Father. Once again, and using a familiar term, right? Father. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you know him and have seen him. Are you kidding me? All this time, we'll talk about it, they haven't seen God the Father on the throne, right? But they're saying, you've seen him. You know the scripture says that no man can see God and live, right? That seems a little confusing here. If you had known me, you would have known my Father. Also, from now on, you know him and have seen him. So Jesus is going to open up their eyes to the Godhead and to the Father. Then Philip says, it's time for me to pipe up here. Time for me to talk. Always listen to Peter, James, and John speak. My turn. And then Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us. He said, show us the Father. See, this is what's interesting in the heart of every individual. Philip had known Jesus up close and personal, right? He saw the 5,000 fed. Amen. He saw Lazarus raised from the dead. He saw Jesus walk on water. That's amazing. He saw Jesus open the eyes of the blind. He saw God do all these things. He saw the character of God, but he did not liken any of it to actually seeing the Father in action. This whole time, it's just Jesus in action. Jesus, the Son of God, who's going to restore Israel. We see him in the flesh. We see these miracles, but they didn't know the power of Jesus yet, did they? They didn't really understand the relationship that Jesus had with the Father. And then Jesus answers, man, Jesus just comes back and just does what he does. He just matter-of-factly just answers Philip. He says, Jesus said to him, have I been with you for so long a time, and yet you have not come to know me, Philip? The one who has seen me has seen the Father. The one who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own, but the Father, as he remains in me, does his works. You know, the Father is a personal. You think of that. What's in the name Father? What do you think of when you think of the word Father? I think of many, many people today, what they think of when they think of the name Father. If you had a great father, grew up with an awesome father and can relate to him in a healthy relationship, that is amazing. That is awesome this morning. That's awesome. But he was saying, how can you, he says, show me the Father. Let me just ask you this. Do you know the Father this morning? Do you know him as your Father? Or do you just know him as Yahweh? Do you just know him as the great I am? Do you know him for all these powerful names of who God is? Or can you this morning say, I know him as Abba, Father? Show us the Father. Do you believe that I am the Father and the Father is in me? And then verse 11, it says, believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Otherwise, believe because of the works themselves. You know, I remember this disclosure, but you know, you remember sometimes that maybe you did some things that you maybe wish you hadn't done when you were younger. Anybody like that? But I remember I was about 17 years of age. I was in this group of teens, and I remember they were drinking alcohol. And I remember seeing all these young people around me. And I just remember at that time, it's just something that's ingrained. This was the Lord. I just remember thinking, why am I not happy like these people? Why am I not joyful? All these festivities going on around me, and I'm not happy. But you know what? Now I know this many years, many, many years move forward, it was because I did not know the Father. See, I knew who God was. I believed in his power at that time. I knew he was the creator of the universe. I knew he could do awesome things. But I did not understand the love of a Father. You know, let me ask you this. Let me just move here. How do we see the Father? Well, let me just say this, some scriptures, because people say, well, we can't see the Father. But that's not what Jesus said. He said to the disciples, and the disciples, somebody could say, yeah, they were with Jesus, so of course they saw the Father. And remember, they were sad. The disciples were sad when Jesus said he was going to leave, but he said, it's expedient that I leave so I can leave you the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. See, first thing in seeing the Father is believing in Jesus as God and his sacrifice. John 14, 17 and 18. Let's read that together. John 14, 17 and 18. It says, for this reason, that this is Jesus talking. For this reason, the Father loves me. Wow. One thing, just knowing that when he was walking on this as flesh in this world, Jesus, when everybody was rejecting him, when everybody was using and abusing him for what they could get from Jesus, this is one thing he knew. My Father loves me. And I can tell you, in this day and age, no, regardless of what may be going on in your life or what may come, it will not be your money, your ability, your talents, even your spiritual gifting that will keep you secure. It will be this, knowing that your Father loves you, your Heavenly Father. I love reading this. It says, for this reason, the Father loves me. This is Jesus. Because I lay down my life so that I may take it back. No one has taken it away from me, but I lay it down on my own. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it back. This commandment I received from my Father. So Jesus made the decision. Did Jesus make the decision to give his life for you and I? Well, yeah, in the Garden of Gethsemane, what did he say? He said, not my will, but your will be done. You know, one of the things that God's love for Jesus was he was obedient in every way. You know, sometimes people will think of God this way, that he's going to give Jesus as a sacrifice. And here's God over here trying to keep back the wrath of God. And we've got Jesus, and Jesus is saying, don't burn them. Don't destroy them. You know, have mercy on them. It's like Jesus was a mediator that was keeping an angry God. No, Isaiah 53 says that it was his good pleasure, to God, to give his son as a sacrifice. It was the Father's idea to send the son as a sacrifice. Not to appease some angry God, but to appease the wrath of God against sin that had entered the world through Adam. It's not this Father that's being kept back. And Jesus saying, I'm going to give my life for him. No, it was the Father's good pleasure that he would pour out his wrath against sin upon Jesus as the ultimate sacrifice that was obedient in every command in the entire law, obedient in suffering, obedient in having everything, the devil coming against him, having everything opposed to him, but yet remaining in this one truth, my Father loves me. Did you know your Father loves you this morning? Did you know he loves you? Did you know it's his desire in every area of our lives to be a part of it? Sometimes religion will think, oh, he's too busy. He's got the universe to run. But it's amazing that God is so big, so powerful, that he loves to be involved in the little details, the little conversations I have with my children, the little conversations I have with my grandchildren, the little conversations I have with my wife or my friends, my nephews and nieces. He loves being a part of those little things. See, that's the heart of a father. Every little detail he cares for in your and my life. Every little detail. See, religion would say that, well, he's aloof. Do these things. Just operate in his power. People can operate in the power of God and know nothing about the Father. Why do you think what Jesus says? There'll be those who will say, Lord, Lord, have we not done miracles and cast out devils? And done all these things, and Jesus says, depart from me, I never knew you. The very first thing that God wants from you is a relationship, that you would come to know the love of the Father and his love for one another. Amen? That you would know his heart, that even in his power being displayed in your life, his goodness being displayed in his life, it is all because he loves you deeply. You got to, number two, you've got to believe the Father is good. I'm telling you, you have to believe God is good. John 10, 14 and 15 says, Jesus says, I am the good shepherd, and I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. Amen. Jesus, knowing Jesus, you and I know the Father, have the opportunity to know the Father. I've said this before. When I was younger, because of the legalism, I thought for me to be pleasing to God, I had to spend an hour a day in prayer. So I would spend an hour in my closet on my knees. And I'm not saying that's That I'm not saying those things are bad. I'm just saying that I did those things, and then I would fast, and I would memorize all these scriptures, and I did this without ever knowing the love of the Father. Doing all these things to earn His love. Oh man, how I see it so differently. I may spend, one day I might spend some time in my knees. Another time I may be working in the yard just worshiping Him, praying in the Spirit, enjoying His Holy Spirit speaking to me. Another time I may be in my office, in my chair, just lean back, just worshiping Him and feeling that God is 100% pleased with me. There would have been a time it said, that is being disrespectful to the Father. Get on your knees and pray. But now knowing, so I belong to Him. He's pleased with me. I said, He's pleased with me. He is my Father. He is my Father. Thank you, Lord, for the Father. Believe the Father's good. Believe that He loves you. Believe that His desire is to set you free. Believe that His desire is that you walk in 100% peace. Now, does that always happen? No, but I'm learning. But things bother me. I cast my cares upon Him because He cares for me. Did you know He cares for you? Let me just say this. Your faith is powerful. Your faith is powerful. See, one thing, you also see the Father with eyes of faith. Galatians 3, 26 through 29. Galatians 3, 26 through 29. For you are all sons and daughters. He's talking to the church in Galatia, right? It says this, for you are all sons and daughters of God through faith. Can anybody say faith? Faith in Jesus Christ. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's descendants, heirs according to the promise. Amen. That's good news. Amen. So not only is He my Father, but I have His blessing. I have the blessing of the Father. I mean, I'm a child of Abraham. I can say, Father Abraham. You know the song, Father Abraham had many sons. I am one of them, and so are you. Something about a loving Father, I belong to Him. It is good to wake up in the morning and say, thank you, Lord, I am blessed because I'm His child. I belong to Him. I can go to Him and say, Dad, Father, I need help here. Lord, I need Your provision here. Lord, I need healing in my body. Amen? Lord, I need You to provide something for me. Lord, I need Your help in this area. And He's a good, good Father. Do you believe that He's a good, good Father? Yes. Jesus paid the price. It is 1 John 2, 1-2. I want to read a couple things. Says, my little children. So John, the apostle, he's making it personal, isn't he? He's making it personal. This letter says, my little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He's my righteousness, saints. And He Himself is the propitiation for our sins. He is the atonement for every sin I have ever committed. And I'm going to try, now because I trust Him, He is the atonement for every sin I ever will commit. And when you realize that, you're not going out to look for ways to sin. No, when you understand His love, what do? You have this heart. I want to please the Father. When there's woundedness and not an understanding of the Father, we can't have confidence with Him. And we don't have confidence in Him. What normally happens is it breeds rebellion. Let's go back to the thing. I think of those as an example. And God loves all people. I'm thinking of those might be sex workers. Is that what they call them now? Right? Yeah, I think that's what they, prostitutes. And when I see that, I always go back to, what's the relationship with the father like? Their father. What's the relationship at home? You know, if those young ladies knew the love of the father, the love of the father, they come out of that. You know, you could be a man here and you might have a problem with anger. Anger all the time. Normally, I think that's a wound in the heart, a heart issue. And when you allow the Father, by drawing close to Him, realizing your acceptance, He heals that area. He desires to heal that area. What He does is that anger begins to dissipate, to go away. Let me say, my Father lives in me. 2 Timothy 1:13 to 14. You are a quiet bunch this morning. 2 Timothy 1:3 and 14. You're either sleeping or you're very studious or both. This is Paul talking to basically his son in the faith. This is his son in the faith. It says, keep and follow the pattern of sound teaching doctrine which you have heard from me. That's what Paul's saying to him. In the faith and love which are in Christ Jesus, guard with greatest care and keep unchanged the treasure, that precious truth which has been entrusted to you. That is the good news about salvation through personal faith in Christ Jesus through the help of the Holy Spirit who dwells in us. See, the Father, if you know Him as your Savior, the Father dwells in you. And I think the renewing my mind, all you know, for a long time, the Holy Spirit lived in me, but because of how I believed, what I thought of my Father kept me from walking in any victory. It did. I had no confidence. So even though the Holy Spirit would try to talk to me, my mind, my conscience was override it and say, that's not true. You've got to do this, 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 and this. And then you'll be pleasing to Him. The greatest thing, the greatest accomplishment, or the greatest thing in walking this life of faith is knowing that you're 100% loved and accepted by the Father. There is no greater revelation than knowing how much you are loved in Him. There's no greater joy. There's no greater peace. There's no greater strength. There's no greater confidence in this than knowing what it means when we say, Father. Thank you, Father. See, I don't say, thank you, God. He is God. Now, sometimes I can say Jehovah or Yahweh, I can say those things. But for me, most of the thing I'm saying is, thank you, Father. And the next thing is knowing His character. You know, we talk about the character that we can read in Galatians and like, okay, we got to have this character. Let's read this and do you have this character? But let me turn it around this morning so that you understand that this is His character, the character of your Father. What is the character of your Father? But the fruit of the Spirit, you could say this, but the character of God, of the Spirit of God is this: love, joy. Now, whose character is this? This is God through the Holy Spirit. This is His character. This is the character of our Father. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering. That sounds pretty good. Doesn't that sound pretty good? My Father towards me is long-suffering. When I'm around my Father, there's great peace. When I'm around my Father, there's love and acceptance and joy. There's kindness. Man, you can't underestimate kindness in today's world. Come on now. My Father's character is kindness. How about the next one? Goodness. My Father's character is goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And it says, those who are Christ, have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. And if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. I've come to know when I have complete confidence who my Father is, these fruits begin to develop in my life. See, he lives in me, and my Father's with me. And when you're around your Father, you become like those that you're around, don't you? Well, I can't get away from this. He chases me he's here. He won't leave me alone. He doesn't forsake me. He doesn't turn his back on me. He doesn't say, I'm mad today. Maybe tomorrow I'll talk to you. That might be me, but that's not him. Amen? And so all these things, this character of my Father live in me. Anytime I can make a mistake, I can come to him. Anytime there's a struggle, I come to him. Amen? Anytime I'm baffled about what's going on in this world, I come to my loving Father. Let me just say a few things as the worship team comes. If you have a good father, hallelujah, let him know. Amen? I'm talking about earthly fathers. If you did not grow up with a good relationship with a father, let me just say this. Forgive him and pray for him. Pray for him. Have pity on him. If your father has passed away and left you a legacy, man, that's amazing. Let me just say that's amazing. Continue that legacy on. If your father has passed away and you need to forgive him, amen? Ask your father to help you to forgive. If you have failed as a father, man, you have to forgive yourself. Once again, you can live in regret. It'll take you down. And to your ability that you can now, begin to sow those things that we just read into your children. If my children see me praying for the sick and they all recover, but they don't know the love of a father, I failed. That's 1 Corinthians 13. Love is kind. So let me ask you this. Do you know your Father this morning? Do you love the Father this morning? Sometimes it's just what I do in the past is saying, Lord, any little area, if there's any area in my life that needs to be healed, Lord, just touch that area. Speak to somebody that you know and trust about that. I remember when I was, you know, there was a time where the Word of Faith movement would say, don't mention any of that. Just stuff it down. I heard somebody say, just stuff it down and don't ever bring it up again. Man, that wasn't a good word. That wasn't a good word. See, because what happens then is then it's all dictated on just what you say. Maybe, you know, we become fashion cops. Hey, what you say has to line up with the Word of God. But there's no heart.
Come on.
I mean, I love the Word of Faith, don't get me wrong, but if it becomes about just saying the right thing, and not saying the right and not saying the wrong thing, and that's not a relationship, that actually will lead to walking on eggshells. I love the fact that I can be honest with the Father. Lord, I'm upset about this situation. I'm upset with that person, or I don't think this person treated me right, or this person did me wrong, or whatever. My father didn't give me this, or my mother, whoever. You can say this, Lord, I forgive. Thank you, Jesus. This is how we know if we've truly forgiven. You know how we truly know? We never bring it up again. We don't have to nurse it and rehearse it. We don't have to give it to other people. Do you know the Father this morning? I just want to read a psalm as we close. Can you stand up with me while I read this? Can you let the blood get back into your feet and your body? Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord, that you're a good, good Father. Hallelujah. Thank you for your love, Lord Jesus. Thank you for returning the hearts of the Father to the children and the children to the Father, Lord. In this generation, let it be done in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Psalms 46 says this. Let me just say this. Our Father is all powerful. God is our refuge and strength. You can say this. Our Father, amen, is our refuge and strength, a very ready help in trouble. He's a very ready help in trouble. Why? Because he's your Father. Therefore, we will not fear. Amen. Though the earth shakes, does it seem like in many ways right now that the earth is shaking?
Yes.
The stuff that you read about, the craziness? Though the earth shakes and the mountains slip into the heart of the sea, though the waters roar and foam, though the mountains quake at its swelling pride. At its swelling pride. Anybody heard the word pride lately? And then he says Selah. You know what Selah means? Give it some thought. Give that some thought. Verse 4, there is a river whose streams makes the city of God happy. Out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water for the new covenant believer. The holy dwelling places of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She will not be moved. Hallelujah. We will not be moved, saints. God will help her when the morning dawns. Verse 6, the nations made an uproar. The kingdoms tottered. He raises his voice. The earth quaked. The Lord of armies is with us. Who's the Lord of armies? That's Jesus. Hallelujah. The Lord of armies is with us. The God of Jacob. We are children of Abraham. Amen. Amen. Isaac and Jacob. Amen. The Lord of armies is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. Selah says, think about that. He is our stronghold. Come behold the works of the Lord who has inflicted horrific events on the earth. He makes wars to cease to the end of the earth. Man, there's a day where all this nonsense is coming to the end. Yes. He makes wars to cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariots with fire. And it's, I love this. Stop striving and know that I am God. Stop striving. Amen. Father, thank you for helping us in every area of our lives to stop striving. I'll just stop one more second. Be patient. Ask the Lord, is there any area, Lord, that I need to stop striving? In a relationship? On a job? Is there anywhere, Lord, I need internally, I need to stop striving?
Thank you.
It says, stop striving and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted on the earth. The Lord of armies is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. Selah. Thank you for that, Father. How we love you. Can you just take a second and say, Lord, I love you. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your faithfulness, Father. Thank you for your goodness, Father. Thank you for your freedom, Lord Jesus. Thank you for your love. Thank you for all the goodness of you, Father, the love, the joy, and the peace settling in me to understand who you are, Father. What's in a name, saints? What's in the name? What does Father mean to you this morning? Father means so much more and so means so much different to me today than it did in years past.
Yes.
I'm so glad to be a son.
Amen.
Of the Father. Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this Father's Day. Lord, how we love you, how we praise you, how we exalt you, how we bless you, how we worship you. Father, we thank you for going from with us from this place. We thank you for leading us. We thank you for guiding us. We thank you for speaking to us. We thank you for revealing your goodness to us over and over and over again. In Jesus' name we pray, and all of God's people said, amen. Do you love him this morning?